Yep, right here.
Blog Talk Radio.
My ideas and content must be a reality, so all my dreams can come to be a possibility. All success start with a decision just to try. Failing is inevitable if we do not fight. Knowing your purpose, meaningful life. Great execution bring confidence in your smile. If you believe, then you can fly. Don't wait for more time, you can soar up to the sky. Say I'm a winner, greatest live inside of me. Nothing you can do to stop me from believing. Yeah, I know I can, I know I will, 'cause I'm a winner. Every day to greet the morning sun, to ensure what I said I'll do was really done. Come in my plans, I got no procrastination. All weakness in my life I have to overcome. No time for doubt, no time for fear. Problems will come but I will let them disappear. I cannot slow down, I have to run. I see the time and I must complete the mission. 'Cause I'm a winner, greatest live inside of me. Nothing you can do to stop me from believing. Yeah, I know I can, I know I will, 'cause I'm a winner.
Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Mike, and tonight we're going to be coming with a powerful topic. It's going to be a very powerful teaching, and the title of that teaching is Fight Back, Confronting the Enemy's Tactics. So I do encourage you, if you're out there listening, please get pen and paper as we get ready to dive into this teaching. But before we even do that, let's go ahead and acknowledge our sponsors. Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend A.D. Walker, Dr. Williamson,
Soundcheck Testing 1,
Reverend Montgomery, Reverend Plowton, and all the churches who are listening in as well, who are taking part in this teaching. We're going to give space and time to Pastor John Durden. He's going to give us a couple of shout-outs. And then after that, the next voice that you will hear will be that of Pastor Emmett Overton and Fighting Back, Confronting the Enemy's Tactics. Brother John, you have the mic.
Well, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to give a shout out to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of my fellow brothers in the Lord. That would be Pastor Patterson, Pastor Jackson, Pastor Walker, Pastor Montgomery, Pastor Campbell, and Pastor Denson. God bless you, brothers in the Lord. I know you enjoyed the session tonight, especially about fighting back. I know I can use it for tonight. God bless you, and I know you enjoy. Be blessed.
Amen. All right, Brother Emmett, can we get a sound check real quick?
Okay, Mike, check 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me? Sound check, testing 1, 2, 3.
Yes, sir. Got you loud and clear.
Okay, let me know when I can go.
All right, you're ready to go.
Well, praise God and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries.com. It is a blessing to be here this evening tonight, and we have a very powerful teaching. I got before the Lord all day today, and I just meditated, and I got quiet. The Lord wanted me to really get quiet, and I looked, and I was in the praise and worship today, and God began to move on me and show me how brothers and sisters worldwide are allowing the devil to steal your blessings from you. Satan is a liar, and we cannot give him the tools that he needs to destroy us. And I'm seeing so many Christians being attacked. Every day families are coming under attacks. Someone in the family don't want God. That's the thorn in the flesh that the devil will move. If it ain't that, it's someone struggling with gluttony. Someone dealing with this. We are all dealing with something. But let me say this. If we don't stand up as Christians and walk the walk that God has called us to walk, we can go to hell. Now, there's a spirit that's accusing people every day, and it attacks Christians worldwide. We sin the United States with this spirit of racism. Here it is, a white woman from Mississippi say that she'll go to a lynching, and she's running for the Mississippi Senate. Ain't nothing changed. These spirits just constantly rotate. There's a move of anti-Semitism. That's against the Jews. I am pro-Jewish. And God shows me that these spirits move in different dispensations that the devil have for them. But the devil don't know when Christ is coming. But through this, we're coming through some demonic forces and some serious attacks. Now, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 2:11 because there's a lot I want to share with you tonight. I may go over an hour. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We're talking about strategic and how to fight back, confronting the enemy's tactics. And the enemy will throw stuff at you, and the things that's in your heart that's contrary to the word of God will pull you into sin. The devil use on people. Again, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. One of our key defenses against Satan's attack is awareness of the enemy's continued efforts to gain an advantage over us and to lead us away from devotion to Christ. That's his main job. But sometimes I'm finding that we give him so much leeway when we get into the flesh and start doing things in the flesh. Where are we going to really have to, when you sow what you reap, you have to pay that back. And it ties you up from walking into prosperity with God. Prosperity is not because you tithe. That's not, ain't no way in the Bible says that. That's a covenant. God gives you the blessings in Malachi 3:8-9. He said he'll open up a window of heaven that you may not store. But if you have sin that's dealing with you, sin is not popular. You don't hear anything about sin. No one talks about sin, holiness. That's something that's just unheard of. But tonight, we're talking about Satan's tactics and how we can fight back and not give him an advantage because we already have an enemy. Why assist him? Turn to 2 Timothy 2:26. And the Bible says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Man, that is a person that's in some serious, serious bondage. And there are a lot of Christians out here that's like that, being captive by the devil at his will because they're so weak in spirit. because they lack the understanding of who they are in Christ. They lack the teaching, or they're running after some doctrine that suits the flesh instead of the spirit. Now, I'm going to say this here. The Bible says that we are, it gives us characteristics of our character. Well, if we are in the flesh and we're sowing seeds to the flesh, we can't be in the will of God. There is an accusing spirit that's constantly attacking. And I'm going to say this. Isaiah 43:4 says, I am precious and honored in God's sight, and God loved me. Matthew 5:13, I am the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:14, I am the light of the world. John 1:22, I am a child of God. John 14:7-18, God dwells with me and will be in me. He does not leave me as an orphan, but comes to me. Do we really, can we really say that and believe it? John 15:7-8, God's word abide in me, and I am his disciples, and I bear much fruit. Do we bear fruit? Instead of bearing fruit, we're calling hotlines and prayer lines and deliverance radio stations to get deliverance here. And you want to jump over here and get some deliverance and jump over here. But this Christ word dwells in us. We are chosen and appointed by Christ to bear his fruit. John 15:16. And I'm finding that Christians are not living to the potential that God wants us to live. And Acts 1:80 says you should receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, and we will be witness throughout the world. He says in Romans 5:1, I have been justified, completely forgiven and made righteous. Romans 5:8, I am loved by God because Christ died for me while I was still a sinner. These are benefits of Christ, but do we see them in our lives? Romans 5:9, I've been justified and saved. Romans 5:17, I have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Romans 6:1-6, I died with Christ and died to the power of sin ruled over my life. Is that true? Have you really done that? Are you in and out with your sin? One day you fall and you're going back in the same sin. That's habitual sinning. That can stop your blessing, and the devil can use an accusing spirit to attack you. We're going to talk about that. Romans 6:18, I am a slave to righteousness. Romans 8:1, I am free forever from condemnation. Romans 8:14, I am the son/daughter of God. Romans 8:15, God is spiritually my father. Romans 8:16, I am a child of God. All of these are promises to God. I'm going to show you all the promises to God, and I'm going to ask you tonight, any of these promises fulfilled in your life? Romans 8:27, I am a joint heir with Christ, sharing his inheritance. I am assured that all things work together for the good, Romans 8:28. Romans 8:30, I'm persuaded, I'm called, I'm justified, I'm glorified. Romans 8:31, God is for me. Romans 8:33, I am free from any condemning charges against me. Romans 8:37, I am more than conquerors. Romans 8:39, I cannot be separated from the love of God. 1 Corinthians 2:16, I have been given the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:9, I am God's co-worker. 1 Corinthians 3:16, I am a temple of God. His spirit and his life dwell in me. 1 Corinthians 6:11, I am washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I am united to the Lord, and I am one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, I have been bought with a price. I am not my own. I belong to God. 1 Corinthians 12:27, I am a member of Christ's body. 1 Corinthians 15:23, I am made alive in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:15, I am the fragrance of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14, I live for Christ. Since I've died, I no longer live for myself, but for him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creature, or new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:18, I am reconciled to God. I am a minister of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I have been made righteousness, or righteous. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 3:13, I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:24, I am justified by faith. Galatians 3:29, I am Christ, Abraham's seed, his heirs according to the promise. Ephesians 1:1, I am a saint. Ephesians 1:3, I am blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:5, I have been adopted as God's child. Ephesians 1:13 and 1:14, I have been given the Holy Spirit as a pledge guaranteeing my inheritance to come. Ephesians 2:5, I have been made alive together with Christ. Ephesians 2:6, I have been raised up and I'm seated with Christ. Ephesians 2:10, I am God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:18, I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:19, I am a member of God's household. I am a fellow citizen with the rest of the saints. Ephesians 3:12, I may approach God with boldness and confidence. Ephesians 4:24, I am a new man created according to God. Philippians 1:6, I am confident that God will complete the good work he began in me. Philippians 3:3, I worship God in spirit. I have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3:20, I am a citizen of heaven right now, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Colossians 1:13, I have been delivered from the dominion of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of light. Colossians 1:14, I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. Colossians 2:7, I am firmly rooted in Christ and I now am built up in him. Colossians 2:10, I have been made complete in Christ. Colossians 3:3, I am hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:12, I am chosen of God and may approach God with boldness and confidence. 2 Timothy 1:7, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Hebrews 2:11, because I am sacrificed as one who sacrificed, he is ashamed to call me his brother or sister. Hebrews 4:6, I come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. 2 Peter 1:4, I have been given precious and magnificent promises by God, which I am a partaker of God's divine nature. 1 John 4:4, I am an overcomer because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 5:18, I am born of God and the evil one. The devil cannot touch me. Revelation 5:10, I have been made a king and a priest to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. All these benefits or promises are in the Bible. But do we really catch hold to them? Has the devil snatched any of these away? I had a whole lot of lists. All scripture, just go back over and relook at it. Look at yourself tonight and ask yourself, am I giving the devil any area in my life? Because the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Why am I saying this? We have an accusing spirit. And we don't need to give the devil any more ammunition that he has. Jesus has given us the authority. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heavens, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which is accused of them before God day and night. Now, we have an enemy. This is another one of the common tactics of the devil that we see literally all the time in the ministry of deliverance. The accusing spirit is an antichrist spirit because it appropriates people with no love, but a tone of condemnation. It works through a voice, the voice of condemnation. It consistently tells you how much of a failure you are. It tells you how hard it is right now with God. It tells you that you don't need to read the Bible. It won't work, that you are serious about God, but he'll forgive you when things go bad. It gives you inspiration to sin, but not pull you to God. This is an exact opposite of God's nature. It tears down rather than builds up. The accusing spirit used the letter of the law to lay heavy burdens and crush his victims, just as the Pharisees would have done so. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and laid to men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Matthew 23:4. Who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. 2 Corinthians 3:6. The accusing spirit works hand in hand with the family of religious spirits and strongholds, including legalism. And it's destroying Christians. The accusing spirit will manifest in various ways. It can cause direct conditions for hate to another person. It can cause them to accuse others around them. And it can cause them to be an enemy of God. Anytime the enemy brings you up and brings your past failures, that is the work of the devil. That is the work of an accusing spirit. The spirit feeds on past mistakes in order to justify how that person is supposedly be walking with Christ. Even though the blood of Jesus has washed away your sins and the failures have been washed by the blood, this spirit will constantly attack you and make you feel that the grace of God is not there for you. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace, Galatians 5:4. And getting into us and fall from grace, this is to stop trusting God's mercy and grace for our salvation, which is justification. It is exactly what the accusing spirit wants to do. This thing wants to accuse you, pull you away from trusting God. All the promises I gave you want to take that all away. Now, if you're under some doctrine that ain't right, you really need to get away from false doctrine. The Bible says, for there are false apostles, deceitful workers, transferring themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transferred into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transferred as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The whole motivation behind the ungodly demon spirit is to discredit the work of Christ in our lives. We fail, Jesus forgave, but the spirits keep pointing to the mistake as if Christ did nothing to erase it. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that satanic? And a lot of Christians go to that to this day. The fruit of the accusing spirit is widely viewed. Self-hatred almost always involves the accusing spirit. Guilt and fear resulting from guilt. When you feel ashamed, you'll be afraid like Adam and Eve, who were guilty, and they hid. And this spirit will make you hide like Adam and Eve are going to hide from God. Doubt, unbelief, hate, judgmentalism, critical spirit, resentment towards God's feelings and hopeless and shame that life goes on. This is what the accusing spirit tries to do to you. What do the accusing spirit really wants to do to us as a body of Christ? It wants to tear your faith and wear you down spiritually. He wants to walk in guilt. He wants you to walk in condemnation and never feel worthy of God's glorious plan in your life. Its goal is to wear you down and make you weak as a child of God. Now, in Colossians 3:3, the Bible says our life is hidden in Christ. When we come out of God's will and try to serve the Lord in the flesh, the accusing spirit is going to come. The accusing spirit thrives on repeated failures of bondages or iniquities. Pornography or lust, for example, is a perfect example. A person can keep falling, but have their heart right before the Lord. They feel terrible each and every time they fall into the sin. Paul told us in Romans chapter 7 that he struggled with a repeated failure in his own life as a spirit-filled believer. A person who doesn't understand their bondage may have no clue of the pornography is usually in the bondage of the root that is in them. The accusing spirit, however, is right there telling them the dirty tricks in their mind. This is, again, the working of the accusing spirit. That accusing spirit may not deal with you in sex. That accusing spirit may deal with you in wanting to get you something to eat. Go ahead on. You fast and the Lord will forgive you. The accusing spirit is a finger-pointing spirit. It is a blaming spirit that specializes in digging up the past and blaming someone else for it. That somebody could be you, others, or God. It works hand in hand with a critical spirit of judgmentalism. The bottom line is the accusing spirit will always point to the problem, even if it's been washed away by the work of Christ. While the Holy Spirit will always point you to the solution, if there is any case a true guilt from an unrepentant sin, the one person confessed, it is forgiven. The guilt should be an issue of the past. If the person continues to struggle with guilt, then they have no acceptance of the blood of Christ. Therefore, the accusing spirit is at work in their mind. Once a sin is confessed and forgiven, the Holy Spirit stops convicting, but the accusing spirit don't stop, but continues to bondage the person and other failures. The accusing spirit will work in conjunction with spirit of guilt, shame, condemnation, and hopelessness. And I have seen this spirit manifest. How do we combat this deceitful spirit? For one, we need to fill our minds with the voice of God's word concerning the forgiveness of sins, God's love and mercy. We need to learn to recognize the voice of God and to cast down these negative spirits. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bringing this thing into captivity. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Being that this is a spirit which builds strongholds in our mind, we need to be diligent in renewing our minds with Christ and God's word in order to undo the damage that has already been done to our thinking patterns. It is also possible that the accusing spirit, along with other related spirits such as religiosity, legalism, and shame, needs to be driven out as well. You can tear down strongholds by the blood of Jesus of Nazareth. We are going under attacks with these accusing spirits every day. And what happens is that when we give this opportunity to the devil, it causes problems. Now, before I get into the problems that we give the devil, I want to show you something. Turn to Ephesians 6:11. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at this. W-I-L-E-S. Those are tactics of the enemy. Now, check this out. As Christians, we are engaged in a spiritual conflict with evil. This spiritual conflict is described as a warfare of faith. Brother Mike, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 18 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19. 1 Timothy, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy, forgive me, that's 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19.
This charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, made shipwreck.
So they put it away. We got to do this till we die. We must continue until we enter to life to come. Let me show you something. I'm going to show you something. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. I got it, Mike. 2 Timothy chapter 4, seven and eight. I have fought a good fight. We have to do this. I, Paul says, have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, if you don't keep the faith, guess what? You can attack. You'll open up the doors to the enemy. You're not walking in faith. This is how the enemy gets in. I want to read something else to you. In Galatians 5:17, it says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And see, when we understand His will, we won't get caught up in these sins, man. Falling into these sins, opening up the door for the devil to attack us. Satan is a masterful strategist who seeks our downfall by his various schemes. Some of the wiles of the devil are to penetrate divisions in the church, unbelief to the promises of God, bring forth discouragement, temptation to sin, compromising God's word, compromising of consciousness, unwillingness to forgive, getting our eyes off Jesus. Ooh, Lord. Fear, accusation, indulging in our sinful nature and spiritual apathy, so forth. Paul instructs believers to take their stand against the schemes of the devil. We can take the confidence in the fact that our victory has been sorted out by Jesus Christ himself through his death on the cross. Jesus waged a triumphant battle over Satan, disarming the evil powers and the authorities. He's disarmed him. In Colossians 2:15, you can study that. Matthew 12:29, you can study that. Luke 10:18, you can study that. John 12:31, you can study that. He led captives captives and redeemed the believers from Satan's powers. Acts 26:18, Romans 3:24, Colossians chapter 1, 13 through 14. At the present time, we are involved in a spiritual warfare that we engage by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 13, against the sinful desires of ourselves, 1 Peter 2, 11, Galatians 5, 17, against the ungodly pleasures of the world and temptations of every sort, Matthew 13, 22, Galatians 1, 4, James 1, 14 through 15, 1 John 2, 16, and against Satan and his forces. We are called to be separated from this world and suffer while we're here. Now that, don't nobody want to deal with. So we're talking about confronting the enemy's tactics. Suffering? What do you mean? What do I mean to suffer? That's pride. When we understand that the devil is using our own self against us through the flesh, that causes us to lose our blessing. I hope that you're hearing me. Turn to Ephesians 6:12. Christians face a spiritual conflict with the Satan and the hosts of evil spirits. These powers of darkness are spiritual forces of evil. John 12:31, John 14:30, John 16:11, 2 Corinthians 4:4, 1 John 5:19. When we engage in this warfare, and we're going backwards and forward with two kingdoms, you live with the kingdom of God, now you're back. Now you're going to miss your blessing, and this opens tactics that the devil can attack you in. Let me give you an example. I had a man, I won't give the name. He had a problem with masturbating. That's an old man spirit in Genesis 38:9. And a lot of married men are having this problem because their wife, some way they don't want to make love, but they forgot that their body don't belong to them. And the man also forgot his body don't belong to him. When people forget God's Bible and what we have to do for each other, all kind of mess go on. So this man wasn't, and I said, well, you need to control yourself. And as I was talking to him, I heard this. In Proverbs 25, verse 28, he that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. When I shared that with him, this man, because he was opening the door to masturbation, he kept opening that door, 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 he kept doing it, he kept doing it, he kept doing it, he kept doing it, and the demon got in there. Now, once that got in there, then he go with pornography. So he get caught up in that. Now he done went from masturbation. See how the tactics of the enemy. I'm just using this one brother. It could be anything in your life, not just necessary sexual sins. Okay, that the reason why I go there a lot, because that's a lot of struggle with people. Man, you'd be surprised at the telephone calls that me and Pastor Durden get. You just would really, you wouldn't even believe it. I don't even want to deal with it on air because you wouldn't believe it. But whatever area of darkness that's in your life, you keep burning that candle with the evil one, and you keep burning it, and then you're jumping back in the kingdom of God, and that's wavering. You can't be blessed when you waver in James 1:6. And there's a lot of Christians that waver that blocks their blessing with the Lord, man. And the Lord has told me he wants to bless you. God wants to bless every last one of us. We get in the way. Power we got, all the things of who we are in Christ. I said that earlier, we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, child of God, dwells in us, chosen, appointed, justified, and all that. Well, why not we fulfilling that? Lord, have mercy, Jesus. While we are not fulfilling that, I ask you, why not? Now, let me say this. When the Lord forgives you for your sins, he's forgiven it, but you do so with your weak. Now, we're talking about fighting back and confronting the enemy's tactics, and I pray that you can see as I share this with you certain tactics that the devil can get you on. Now, I'm hearing something from the Lord. I got to go back with this guy with the Onan spirit. Then I go back to that. So as this guy went to pornography, the Lord told me to go back to that. He opened up another door, and it was very difficult for us to do deliverance with him. That was the third time he was going through deliverance. Now, you about to know what I'm going to say, don't you? But see, it was harder for us to deal with this brother. In Luke 11:24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he, H-E, it's a he, ain't no female spirit, he walketh through dry places, which represent rebellion, Psalm 66:18. Seeking rest, these things trying to seek rest through sin. They're the opposite of God because it was in the kingdom of God. That's why they're the opposite of God. Seeking rest. Finding none. And he said, I will return into my house where I came. And when he came, he found it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man was worse than the first. And I've seen this over and over and over and over and over and over and over. What are we talking about? Fighting back, confronting the enemy's tactics. Don't let him throw a dangle out at you and you go bite it. You got to pay for that. What are you talking about, Galatians, please? Yeah, we have a forgiving God, but we have to pay for the things that we do. And some of you, if you go and go through it, the Lord sent me, some of y'all got to go and go through the weeping process, get the bad things out. Weep it out. And sow good seeds in your life where God can bless you. See, when you're walking in the flesh, you're going backwards and forwards with the double-minded and the double heart, Psalms 12:2, that hurts you. Don't hurt the devil. Now, the devil likes to see that because you're a prime target to be tempted by the evil one. Galatians, please. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I'm hearing 325 in my spirit. Wait a minute. The Lord's sending me 325. Let me go to, I heard 325. I'm jumping around today. But he that does wrong shall receive, Lord, have mercy, Jesus, and that's what I was saying. Boy, isn't the I'm enjoying the night because the Lord is telling me what to say. Hey, so easy. But he that does wrong, watch this, shall receive for the wrong which he have done. And there is no respect of person. Now, that blocks our blessing. See, pastors don't like to talk about this. But it blocks your blessing if you're operating in sin like that, man. Now, watch this now. Remember, but he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he had done, and there's no respect of person. Now, in Galatians 6:7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I really want you to hear this. If you're a Christian and you're going backwards and forth in the flesh, fornicating, adultery, all the sinful natures of the flesh, and you back and then you ask God to forgive you, and then you go back again and you're in and out, how can God bless that? He just give you grace and forgive you, but you still got to sow the things that you weep. Those who claim to be born again, spirit-filled followers of Christ at the same kind, consciously should understand sowing to the sinful nature does not please God and are guilty of mocking and despising God. Let there be no such person that will enter into the kingdom of God. This is very serious. And noticing it says, watch this, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Thank you, Lord. The Lord just gave me more. Boy, I'm enjoying the night. 1 Corinthians 6:9. I'm jumping around scriptures tonight. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor emulates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkenness, nor rattlers like the party all the time, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God. You cannot enter. Now, here you are, born again and saved, and you die in that sin. But you have to sow what you're weak. And then you 9 months ago, you was mad at your wife, 4 or 5 months. You had to pay that back. What you mean, Pastor, I got to pay that back? That the word says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. The kingdom of God works fair, and God shows no respect of person. Now, if you are trying to get blessed by God and you find yourself constantly in the flesh, fast, get some deliverance, keep going to the throne of God, keep going through the throne of God, and tell God, Lord, take this away from me. I don't want this. And God will do it. But you got to believe in yourself. The tactics of the enemy is to make you feel that you can't do it. Now, if you're caught up in the sin thing, that ain't going to work real good, because if you living like that and you tithe in and you find yourself in sinful nature against God, you sow into the kingdom of God, then you sow into the kingdom of darkness. So the weeping process, when it come back to you, you get nothing, because both kingdoms are colliding. Oh, Jesus, hear me, brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray that they hear me. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That instability, the devil will use that against you. Now, when you sowing and you weeping, even though God forgive you, I want to show you something. Turn to Numbers 32:23. Numbers 32:23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. It's going to find you out. Now, if you're a Christian, yes, the Lord will forgive you. Thank you, Lord. Just heard Romans 6:1. What should we say? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us was baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Wow. Therefore, if we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in newness of life. And I don't see that. Most wives don't even submit to their husbands. They won't do a damn thing their husbands say. Most husbands won't submit to Jesus. But the wife will go submit to the pastor at the church and come back and talk to her husband like a dog. You got to pay for that. See, we're talking about fighting back and confronting the enemy's tactics. What about if he throw that tactic at you? You got to pay for that. You mad at your mama. When mama didn't let you go somewhere, you on lockdown because you made an F. And you cussing in your heart to your mama. You got to pay for that. Respect for elders and parents if you want to live long. Respect your parents. You have to pay when you lie to somebody. You get to pay that back. You married someone for the wrong purpose. You don't even love them, but you married them. You married them for the wrong purpose. Your whole life will be cursed unless you repent. See, we don't understand when we open up these doors to the sinful nature, it blocks the blessings of God. The devil ain't going to tell you that. A lot of pastors ain't going to tell you that either. You know, some pastors are afraid to teach like this because they fear that you won't tie to them. I don't depend on that. You see. No passage in the Bible draws a clear contrast between lifestyle of the spirit-filled believer and that of the person controlled by sinful natures, according to Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 26. Let's look at this. Now, if you are walking with God and you're struggling with this area, ask God to give you grace, man. But you can't keep walking in this stuff because you go to hell. You will go to hell, man. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, varices, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like of that which I tell you, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And when Satan can pull you away from God and give you the flesh and the pleasures of the flesh, it's just only for a season. It's hindering your blessing. Some of you are struggling deeply with pornography. There are a lot of men out here that are struggling with pornography. Lots of men out here struggling with this. Lots of rebellious women. Lots of rebellious women. Why is this? They hadn't been taught the word of God. Set yourself down. Surrender your will to God so that you won't open up these doors to the sinful nature that can hinder the blessings. Being in the flesh, or to be carnally minded, are terms for the sinful human nature with its corrupt desires. The sinful nature remains within Christians after the conversion and is their enemy for the rest of your life. So this ain't going to stop. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh. They are contrary one to another. It's a battle. What you going to do about it? You going to put your flesh under subjection? Now, we're talking about now confronting the enemy's tactics. Have any of these scenarios of sin that you deal with, I hope if you don't, I pray to God you don't deal with them, but if you do, you can stop this. The blood of Jesus. True repentance. Jesus says, go and sin no more. This is why Christians hurt their blessing. They don't forgive. Christians, you got a lot of Christian ministries involved with politics. I don't get involved with politics. I rebuke this brother, this Omega man. I'm not with that Donald Trump stuff and putting the man's picture. That ain't Christ. See, we got to get away from politics and get in the word. Donald Trump, his days is going to be over. We have prophesied that the Congress is going to take, this is going to flip. God's got this under control. We see that in America, even in Mississippi right now, where a senator, a female white senator, was raised in segregation and proud of her founding fathers in Mississippi. What that cracker name down there? What's his name? Tom Jefferson's, that old racist white dog. I don't like racism, confederacies, and all that stuff. I grew up in that. See, these are evil times we're living in. Why give the devil place in your life? Why give the devil your flesh? Why give the devil the opportunity to give you something that ain't really going to be worth nothing when you die, because you're going to have to pay and go to hell for it? Therefore, the sinful nature must be resisted and put to death, continue through the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:4-14. Now, adultery is sexual activity or intercourse outside the marriage union. The word pornography comes from the root word pornoia, and thus sexual immoralities may include taking pleasures in pornography, films, writings of these materials. That violates the Bible. Let me show you something. Go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to go to verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, for you men that doing that and you're saying you're a Christian, watch this tactic of the enemy. 2 Peter 2:14. You're not going to lose when you fall into sin. Ain't going to work. 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covet practices, curse children. You're putting a curse on yourself. Do you see the tactics of the enemy for a piece of flesh? Not worth it. Fornication, sexual sins, evil deeds and vices, including thoughts and desires of the heart. See Acts 15:20, Acts 15:29, Acts 21:25, Ephesians 5:3, and Colossians 3:5. Uncleanliness and lasciviousness. Sensual, following one's passion and desires to the point of having no shame but public decency. And we got that today. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:21. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12:21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Your whole body needs to be in check with the Holy Ghost. Wanting something that's not yours is covetousness. And guess what? The devil attack a lot of married women like that. They got a house, and I get women call me, Pastor, this house is not big enough. Well, how many children you got? 2. How many rooms you got? 6. And you ain't happy? I got 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, kitchen, my radio station. I'm content. Idolatry, worship of spirits, persons, or graven images, trusting any person, institution, or things, or having equal, greater authority than God, than his word, Colossians 3:5. Stay away from that tactic. Some men love their wife more than Jesus. I don't love my wife more than Jesus. I love Jesus more than any of you, anybody, mama, daddy, because Jesus' love is not like a woman's love. Don't get it mixed. In 1 John 5:21, the word of God says, my dear children, keep thyself away from all idols. Witchcraft. Now, that's of the flesh. Now, let me say this here. This tactic the devil really used with husbands. I want you to turn to Galatians 5, and I'm going to show you where it's at. 5:20. Adultery, witchcraft, right in the Bible. Now, what is this witchcraft? Sorcery, spiritualism, back magic, worship of demons, and use of drugs to produce spiritual experiences are control. That's all in the Bible. It's done in Exodus chapter 7:11. Hatred, intense hostility, intentions of acts, extreme dislike. That will really mess you up. Varices, quarreling, agonistic, a struggle for superiority. See Romans 1:29, 1 Corinthians 1:11. Emulations, resentfulness, envy of another's success. Oh, I see that in the church. The brother getting promoted to choir director. Everybody tussling over the position the pastor gave him. My God. Wrath. Expose your anger that flames into violent words or deeds. See Colossians 3:8. Strife. Unrighteously seeking power or position. Seditions. Introducing divisive teaching not supported by God's word. Seditions. S-E-D-I-T-I-O-N-S. And I really believe that the prosperity ministry is very close to that. See Romans 6:17. Heresies, divisions within the congregation into exclusive groups or cliques that destroy the unity of the church. 1 Corinthians 11:19. Envy, resentful, dislike of other persons who has something that one desires. You want something that's not yours. You won't trust in God, but you're looking at somebody else. These are tactics of the devil. Drunkenness impairs one's mental or physical control by alcohol. Reveling, excessive partying, a party spirit involving alcohol, drugs, sex, or like that. Paul's final comment about the acts of sinful nature is stern and forceful. Any so-called Christian who engage in these types of activities sets themselves out of the kingdom of God. They do not possess eternal salvation. I'm going to show you. Turn to Galatians 5:21. Envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such a thing shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We can't get away with doing what we want to do. We've been doing that all our lives. It's time to follow God's word and not give the devil all of these strongholds in our lives. Sowing things that we know we're going to have to reap back. It doesn't pay to serve Satan. It doesn't pay to feed your flesh. Why do you come to Christ? What is your purpose of coming to the Lord? Did you really come to the Lord because you want to just get saved, but you needed something from God? Tonight, I ask that you look at yourself through the word, not no mirror. The word is a reflection of a mirror in your life. And ask God, only the Lord, Lord, what are areas in my life that I'm opening up the door to the enemy to give? The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee, James 4:7. Why is it that the promises of God has been given to us and people don't implement them? Why is that? I ask you tonight, what door have you opened? We're going to open up the lines here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We want to thank you. We're going to continue going on. I have to turn off the my sermon recorder, my Audacity, and I'm still streaming live from Live Deliverance Internet Radio on our Sound Broadcaster. We're about to get ready now to open up the lines at error code 646. We got a lot of people in tonight, error code 646-378-1857. And we ask that you participate. And those who are in the calling room, don't be ashamed to talk to us. We ain't going to bite you. We want to hear your view. And Brother Mike, are you live in the YouTube chat room?
No, sir. It never prompted me with a notification. Let me see
okay.
If I can get there.
Okay. All right. We're going to open up for questions and answers. Don't forget to sow a seed here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We depend on you to keep us on air, not only financially, but your prayers also. We are going to be having praise and worship every day from Monday through Friday from 1 to 3 o'clock. We had a wonderful, wonderful time with praise and worship this day. We put that out on YouTube, and my God, did we get a lot of hits. Man, we was rolling today, and we're going to have a good time if it's the will of the Lord tomorrow. God is telling me for all of you to cast your care on him. Learn how to trust in God. You can't trust people. Don't ever trust a human being. It's best to put your trust in the Lord and put confidence in man. Psalms 118:8. Trust God. Serve him. Stay in the word. Don't give the devil any foothold in your life. God bless you. Sow a seed here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We're going to see you. Go to our PayPal site at livedeliverance.com. We have a secure PayPal site. Sow a seed here. Help us out. And also subscribe. If you want to be a cyber member, over to Navy1@gmail.com. Shalom. Okay, Pastor Mike, we're about to get ready now to open up the lines. Let me get ready to open the lines up. We're going to start off with Pastor John Durden.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. I enjoyed the session tonight. God bless you. About being aware of Satan attacks and what we can do to combat it. I have a few notes that I'd like to share with you. I said one. You said one of our key defenses against Satan attack is to be aware of his continued effort to gain advantage over us and lead us away and from our devotion and to Christ. You also mentioned something from Ephesians 6:11, and when it indicates that as Christians we are engaged in a spiritual conflict. You said that we are always engaged in a spiritual conflict with evil, and this spiritual conflict is described as warfare of faith that continues until we enter life to come. You said we got to have that faith. We got to have faith to overcome the tricks and the wiles of the devil. And you said that Satan is a masterful strategist who seeks our downfall by his schemes. He's got all kinds of tricks up his sleeve. And you said some of the wiles of the devil, or tricks of the devil, are to what? Perpetuate division in the church. We see that we got the Methodist, we got the Baptist, we got the Catholic, we got so forth. And then within the church itself, you've got one group against another group trying to get the pastor's attention. Some of the wiles of the devil is what I said, to perpetuate division in the church, to perpetuate unbelief in the promises. You talk about the promises of God, and that's one thing I want us to do, not to trust in the promises of God. And that, those are some great promises that you listen. I mean, you must have listened about, I don't know, 15, 20 of them. You also want to temptation to sin, unwillingness to forgive. He perpetuates fear and getting our eyes mostly off Jesus. A lot of people put their eyes on themselves to glorify themselves. You also said Paul instructs, Paul in the Bible, that is, instructs believers to take their stand against the schemes of the devil by the following ways. You say, we can take confidence in the fact that our victory has been secured by Christ himself through his what? Death on the cross. That's simplified. Everybody know that he won the victory for us on that cross. Also said, at this time, we are involved in a spiritual warfare that we wage by the power of the Holy Spirit, also against the sinful desires of ourselves. You talk about some folks, you know, getting into that masturbation stuff, and then they go into more deep pornography and so forth. You also said, we can also, as Christians, we are soldiers, and we must wage war against evil, not in our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Then, one more thing. And let's see, how can I close this thing? You said, in other words, we need to learn how to recover ourselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In other words, we must learn spiritual warfare. In closing, I came with these notes because I couldn't write everything. Those who claim to be born again, spirit-filled followers of Christ, while at the same time constantly sowing to please the sinful nature, are greatly mocking Christ. In other words, if we're born again, we must not sow to the sinful pleasure of the flesh. We must devote ourselves to the Lord. You said, let there be no deception. Such person will be corrupted, and death will eventually happen. And then you said, your sins will find you out. And what we need is true repentance. I enjoyed it. There's a lot more I could have said, but for time's sake, I'll stop there. God bless you.
Air code 770, Blog Talk Radio. How you doing? 907?
Yes, sir. God bless you, brother. Do you hear me?
Hey, brother, it's good to hear from you. 845 is back with us.
Yeah, I'm still here, brother. Brother, all I got to say is every target, brother, you hit it. And perfect sermon is as far as I could see. And there's really nothing else to add to it, brother. It was right on point, brother. Definitely spoke to me in many areas in my own life, and I just praise God for the message, and I'm very grateful, brother. God bless you guys.
I got your letter you mailed to me. You had a love for the Pittsburgh Steelers, so you want to come on and join Black and Gold with me. You know I'm a Steelers fan. I'm Black and Gold, baby. Black and Gold.
I bet you wouldn't get that was just a rough draft. I thought I tossed it.
Amen. Amen. what do you say, Big Mike? What 845 was saying? Now I didn't catch it.
Oh, he said he thought he tossed that letter away. That was just a rough draft.
Oh no, I get that. And Pittsburgh Steelers. I heard they're gonna transfer you to Big Mike to the Armor Mites up there in Canada football. My God.
The Argonauts called me, too.
Big Mike sent me a letter saying he loved the Cleveland Browns. Love them.
Oh, man. Secretly, it's like a secret love.
Yes. God bless you, 845. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you, brothers. Love you guys all. God bless you guys.
Man. Error code 770-363. Can you hear us?
Yes. I said I came on the last 10 minutes. I can hear you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your name?
I'm Kathy.
Okay. And where you from?
I'm from Georgia, Atlanta.
All right. Well, look, it's a blessing to hear you. I'm glad you're on and continue to stay on. You know, we have a 24-hour-day internet radio station, livedeliverance.com, and it's a blessing that you're on. And we would love for you to come in and keep listening to us. Amen?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Okay, before I go, Chaplain John Durden, Chaplain John Durden, Chaplain John Durden.
Yes?
I have an email from Reverend Pilgore on the email. We have his written word, and tongues is, now we're still live. We're still on YouTube. They can still hear you. Reverend Pillman says, we have his written word. Tongues has ceased. Please explain that to the audience worldwide for the last time. Tongues have not ceased.
Hold one second. You cut my mouth full of food. with respect to the Bible, with regard to tongues will cease, it says tongue will cease, not have ceased. In verse number 9, it says tongue will cease. He's talking about the Lord going to terminate tongues, terminate revelations with respect to our knowledge.
Out of time. Sorry, I got my note from YouTube. We are out of time. I'm so sorry, Brother John. We'll pick up next week. I got a deliverance at 10:07. We're going to pick up next week. We want to thank you, Brother John. Come back. We're going to pick up about tomorrow night. We're going to pick up where Brother John left out. We're going to talk about the issue of tongues. Tongues have not ceased. And a lot of pastors are still believing in that mess, and that's not biblical. Pastor Durden will explain that tomorrow. God bless you. We got to go on air. I got to get back and go to work, do some deliverance on a foreign country. We love you, and have a wonderful day. Big Mike, let's get ready to shut everything down. Brother John, I need to see you in Skype. Big Mike, I need to see you in Skype.
Gotcha.
Let's close out in prayer. Oh, Brother Mike, what was your opinion on the sermon, very briefly?
Oh, man, you kept hitting it with those scriptures, man. You had scriptures for everything. And, you know, Brother John, he hit the nail on the head. I've been trying to find, I could never remember that one scripture, pretty much saying that you reap. Hold on, let me get it. Let me go back and get it. Hold on, I got it right here. In Numbers 32 and 23, your sin against, be sure your sin will find you out. You know what? I have seen a lot of people, they just try to skip, tiptoe over that one scripture, but you can't, you got to realize no matter what you do,
it's going to come back.
It is going to come back. And I've been trying to remember that one scripture, and I could never get it right to go and search for it, but you gave it to me. And you know what? I'm glad that we had this teaching tonight because, you know, a lot of people, like I said, they try to skip or tiptoe around that one scripture, you know, and say that, you know, just because you ask, you know, God to forgive you for your sins, that you're not going to have to pay for anything, that you just can go and still sin free, you know, all willy-nilly and sin. But you never know. You got to reap those consequences. So,
that's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen, Brother Mike. God bless. Big Mike, we got to go to work.
All right. Shalom, everyone. Have a good night.
Brother John?
Yeah.
Reverend Dockin says, no more hanky-panky. Tired of it. No more.
Talk to you alone about it.
All right. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live tomorrow night. Please tune in, and also please don't forget to support this ministry. Amen, shalom, and have a good night, everyone.
See you in the check room. Brother Mike, we'll see you all in the room. Good night.
Good night.